Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the JMO Podcast. I'm your host, Taylor Michaels, and our guest this episode, we've got John Lehman from Mindak Outdoors. You'll find that fishing content on YouTube and social media. That's Mindak Outdoors. Another great interview with a brand new guest. We get to know John a little bit personally. We talk about his YouTube career, and we also dig into some very popular and timely fishing topics for about anybody across the Midwest. So another really fun first-time guest here. Hopefully it's the first time of many with John Lehman. So let's get to it here. John Lehman, Mindak Outdoors. The Onyx Fish App is the roadmap to your next great fishing adventure. The Onyx Fish App brings together all the great research tools that we talk about all the time on the JMO Podcast with all the top pros. I'm talking about satellite imagery, lake surveys, fisheries data, contour maps, the list goes on. They're all in one place now. Anglers in the Midwest have never had a more valuable research tool at their disposal. Head over to the website to subscribe today. Use promo code JMO for a discount at checkout. And I'll say it again, your next great fishing adventure that you don't even know exists can be found on the Onyx Fish app. Zooloft Construction from Fargo, North Dakota is your trusted partner when it comes to protecting and enhancing your property, servicing the surrounding area with over 40 years of combined experience. They've built a reputation for delivering exceptional roofing, siding, gutter, and window solutions. With a team of skilled professionals using quality brands and products, that's how they ensure lasting results. To sum it up, Zooloft Construction is committed to exceeding customer expectations. If you want an appointment for a free estimate, check out Zooloft Construction at their website, zooloftconstruction.com, or call them at 701-630-0197. All those contacts are in the description of this podcast. If you have any fishing memory or a fish that you would like to commemorate with a replica, or you have questions about getting fish replicas done, reach out to Jamie Rizavi from Rizavi Taxidermy Studio in New Rockford, North Dakota. Jamie and his crew do next level work here at the JMO headquarters. We are blessed to have so many replicas made by Jamie. Reach out. You can find him on social media or online at rizavitaxidermystudio.com. The link is in the description of this podcast. Devil's Lake is one of North Dakota's premier outdoor recreational destinations. And to find out more about what the lake and the community of Devil's Lake has to offer, head to devilslakend.com. That link is in the description. Yeah, take us as far back as you're willing to go and tell us who you are and where your fishing story begins.
Sure. So I'm John Lehman, host and owner of Mindak Outdoors. And I would say my fishing story began as far back as I can remember. My dad is a huge outdoorsman, and we actually lived in Idaho Falls, to be exact. That's kind of where I remember growing up. And I was given a pole at a very young age, and my dad would always go out and kind of bring me along. And I remember I kind of got hooked right away, no pun intended. But I started off with just like some night crawlers and bobbers at some local kids pond for some rainbow trout. And then ever since then, I just kind of tagged along with my father as he did all his adventures. I would just be there, whether it's carrying a rod, carrying a net, carrying a BB gun when he's grouse hunting. It kind of just evolved from there. And at around age 10 or so, moved from Idaho to the Midwest over in South Dakota, and then slowly began to figure out how to fish over there. So that was a whole nother experience, but that is kind of where it all began, was my dad kind of introducing me to it and then just kind of sticking with it ever since then.
When did like the media production stuff start sort of come into play? I mean, I don't know how old a guy you are. I know you're a pretty young guy, but when did that sort of, and sort of how did that manifest itself, in all this?
Right. So in 2016, I decided to purchase a GoPro off Facebook Marketplace, and I wanted to just basically start a YouTube channel with my brother. And I thought it'd be fun just to post some videos to look back on and kind of just show friends and family our fishing or hunting or just outdoor adventures. And I, back then, the Guggen Squad, or I don't know if you're familiar with them. It's these guys on YouTube that kind of basically started the whole fishing and YouTube and all the media. They were posting videos back then, and I just thought to myself, like, I could definitely do this. And they were kind of like a role model to kind of like how I wanted my videos to be structured and act and whatever it may be. So I got the GoPro, started filming videos for fun. And eventually it kind of just became into my full-time job. Things started to take off, and here we are now.
You're saying that, you know, looking at the Guggen Squad, you related yourself to them enough that you were kind of hoping and or planning for some success from the jump?
Yeah, absolutely. I wouldn't say I was planning success right away. Like I said, it was kind of just for fun, and whatever happened. I was doing it for me. I was doing it for, you know, the right reasons. I wasn't in it for money or fame or anything like that. It was just because I liked to do it. It was like a hobby, you know. It was like someone liking to golf or whatever it may be. Filming was kind of a hobby for me, and it just started to really take off. And I would say a big turning point for that in my life was when actually one of the Guggen Squad members, his name is Andrew Flair, great buddy of mine now, he reached out to me and offered me a position to be his camera guy and editor. So I jumped on that, and that was kind of during my college career. So I finished out college while also filming videos for him and going on all these crazy adventures, learning the ropes from one of the greats, actually. And you know, I got to meet eventually everybody in the Guggen Squad. I got to do some filming with them, some traveling with them, and just being around the whole scene of all of those guys. That was like a full circle moment there, where I kind of just saw it all come together. And I eventually got to be in a position where my brother and I could do it full time. And super, super cool and crazy how it all kind of went down.
I consume all kinds of YouTube content. Like I have for probably the last, you know, well, for a while, but I mean, in the last like 4 or 5 years, a lot. So I've seen probably not all your videos, but plenty of them. There's definitely sort of a genuine feel there. I definitely see that in your videos with you and your brother. Like, there's definitely a synergy with that, you know, filming yourself and making the videos is one thing. But your passion for fishing, it blends together, like it's meant to be. Whereas, you know, if those things aren't very genuine, people don't last as long as you do. Like if people are faking it, like eventually those types of things, catch up to you.
A huge thing of it is what you see is what you get from me or my brother, Sam. You know, we're not acting or trying to be something that we're not. We genuinely just love to fish and hunt, and YouTube or just social media in general was kind of just an avenue for us to do it full time and make a living off of it. Right. And, going with that is, I mean, you gotta be hungry for it. So, I mean, that's kind of like how I like to put it. You gotta want it really bad and kind of just be hungry. And that's kind of like the mindset that Sam and I have had, is just like, we love fishing, we love hunting, we love being outdoors. We want to go out and just like conquer the day, make it the best day possible, and just share that experience with everybody and not like fake it at all. You know, I mean, a lot of people, or some people, you know, they have different ways where, you know, on social media, they may be some type of character, or, you know, they all got their own niche, right? There's their pros, you know. Sam and I want to relate to just like the average Joes, right? Just the guys that are out there having fun, you know, not taking it too seriously, right? But like just having a great time with it, and being brothers, obviously, throws a huge aspect into it as well, you know, with the whole family and everything like that. So I would just say that, you know, we are just two average brothers just walking around with the camera and filming all the adventures and posting it on the internet for people to look at.
Yeah, I think that work ethic comment there, I think, is a big one. I think that's a big one. I think that's what really, really shines through with this and would inspire anybody listening to this. of like, because there's a lot of great young anglers out there
yep.
that are in that, that would fit the mold or fit the demographic. They definitely have the knowledge and the passion and everything, but it's like, how come they don't necessarily translate well into the digital world if they try it?
Mm-hmm.
Man, being hungry. I'm really glad that you kind of pointed that out, because I feel like that's the conduit. Like that's that personality trait that, that definitely is going to make it work. And you know what, if the internet crashed and YouTube crashed, those would be the personality traits that would make you good at whatever, anything else you tried to do. And so I can definitely appreciate that, man.
Ultimately, like, it's just all about hard work and, you know, giving it everything you got. Right. So that's kind of like where it all began for us. Like, it didn't just happen overnight. It was, you know, years of putting a lot of work into something and then watching, it's almost like, it's like my baby, you know, I was watching my baby grow and I was just so obsessed with, watching, you know, the journey that it was going through, and, to get it to where it's at right now. Like, that's just, it's awesome. It's something, Sam and I are very, very proud of. And, you know, anybody that's trying to get into it, like, I would just tell them that, yeah, you just got to really want it. And if you want something bad enough, like, you'll work hard enough and things will fall in place for you.
Yeah, man, I can appreciate that. But man, you guys, you know, you guys and some of the other guys that just have that level of success, you know, you almost make it look too easy. So there's almost like a perception there of like, man, what is the pixie dust that these guys are working with? You know, it's like, what kind of a connection that are these guys working with the rest of us aren't? But I think the most true answer to that is that you're making something that is difficult and takes a lot of hard work and thought and just desire and passion, like all put into one, you know, it takes all that, you know, to then in the end, maybe almost, you know, make it look easier than it is. But definitely, anyways, that's all great stuff. And, you know, continuing to get to know you, I want to hear some fishing stories, kind of want to get into it. Maybe, you know, maybe the question being like, what would you say are maybe some of your specialties as an angler? I mean, you cover a lot of cool, fun stuff on your YouTube stuff,
right.
You know, and so even just like watching 10 videos, I don't even know if I can put my finger on the type of angler you are. You're definitely, you're multifaceted. So how would you answer that? Like, what are some of your fishing specialties and maybe some topics that we could get into?
Yeah. So, I mean, I love fishing for anything. Well, except Northern Pike. That was a lie. Except Northern Pike. Can't stand those. obviously, you know, we got all of the walleyes and all of the Midwest fish that, you know, true and dear to the heart, right? Like, love fishing for them. Love eating them. They're really fun to catch. But I will say I want to be like a Swiss Army knife, you know, as a fisherman. I don't want to just be good at one thing. I don't want to be great at one thing. I want to be good at everything. So, you know, we kind of open our horizons, I guess, you know. So in the summers, we spend in Alaska, which is obviously way different than North Dakota. You know, we're salmon fishing, we're ocean fishing for halibut, we're fly fishing out there for like grayling and trout. So there's lots of different things out there. I would say definitely, like, fishing wise, like, you just can't beat it. It's one of my favorite things to do out there is just rainbow fish and salmon fish, with the great views of the outdoors. And then kind of going back to other trips that I've done, you know, I've done some crazy things. One that really sticks out to me is I went to the Amazon and floated the Amazon River in a houseboat for like a week, fishing for the peacock bass out there. Crazy experience. Caught a lot of cool stuff. Caught a massive peacock bass, and that's just one of the great things that I'm always gonna remember that trip, right? That was probably one of the coolest fish catches that I've had. But I mean, Alaska and all of the Midwest stuff too, like, I love dabbling with.
What are some things that you have learned to either appreciate about, you know, maybe it's like, you know, gear recommendations or just, you know, fishing styles. What are some things that you've sort of learned in your travels that you bring home just as an angler, whether it's mentality or strategy for breaking down water or just, you know, again, like gear recommendations, like what are some of the little topics that, you know, that you've gotten when you travel and fish for other species that maybe not aren't even related to, you know, crappies and walleyes and bass here in the Midwest, but you bring it back that you feel like have helped, you know, round you out as an angler?
Right. The first thing that comes to my mind is like any sort of advice that I get from a local or a friend or someone that has knowledge of the body of water that we're fishing, I try to really pay attention to what they say and kind of nitpick it and make sure when I am fishing, you know, whatever body of water that is, I'm taking those tips that they use into effect. You know, for example, like in Alaska, you know, Sam and I, we've been up there quite a few times, but like right away, like, you know, it's kind of like chicken with your head cut off, right? Like no idea what's going on. Like this is all kind of new to us, and same for anywhere else. But you know, slowly met friends out there. They would teach us little things and, you know, they turn out to be right most of the time. So I would say just taking in any knowledge from anyone that has not like any advice or whatever for you, that's a big thing. And then translating it over to your actual fishing has been a huge help for sure. Whether it's bait selection, depth to be fishing, or, you know, techniques, how you're going to be fishing the things. I would say any sort of tip like that, I really try to remember when I'm out there and doing the actual fishing.
Yeah. Gathering information, networking for sure. That can take days off of a fishing trip, right? It's like a lot of times you go somewhere, it takes you 2 days of a 4 day trip just to even start sniffing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
The right deal. But gathering information and networking, that's I can definitely see that, man. So where do you spend most of your time fishing now? I mean, I'm not going to assume that just because I watch, you know, your last 10 videos that I know exactly where you fish the most. You know, like you said, you're in Fargo. Your brother's still back down the road in Brookings. I think you were saying that. Like, where do you, you know, where do you spend most of your time fishing now? Or what you know, if we're going to talk a little bit more local, what do you spend most of your time doing around here?
Yeah, so I would say it's about 50-50. I would say 50% Dakotas, 50% Alaska, because we spend the whole summer there. And okay, well, I guess I do fish a little bit of Wisconsin too. I like going over Wisconsin and fishing, but I would say a majority of it is either in the Dakotas, Glacial Lake areas, or small no-name sloughs that just are off the side of the road that look like it shouldn't have any fish, but it really does. Lots of places like that. And yeah, like I said, the Alaska stuff. And I like venturing over to the Green Bay area, you know, for the spring every once in a while, then up in the Northwoods there too. So have a lot of buddies up there, and it's always a good time going out and doing some type of fishing over there.
The Onyx Fish App is the roadmap to your next great fishing adventure. The Onyx Fish App brings together all the great research tools that we talk about all the time on the JMO podcast with all the top pros. I'm talking about satellite imagery, lake surveys, fisheries data, contour maps, the list goes on. They're all in one place now. Anglers in the Midwest have never had a more valuable research tool at their disposal. Head over to the website to subscribe today. Use promo code JMO for a discount at checkout. And I'll say it again, your next great fishing adventure that you don't even know exists can be found on the Onyx Fish app. Zooloft Construction from Fargo, North Dakota is your trusted partner when it comes to protecting and enhancing your property, servicing the surrounding area with over 40 years of combined experience. They've built a reputation for delivering exceptional roofing, siding, gutter, and window solutions. With a team of skilled professionals using quality brands and products, that's how they ensure lasting results. To sum it up, Zooloft Construction is committed to exceeding customer expectations. If you want an appointment for a free estimate, check out Zooloft Construction at their website, zooloftconstruction.com, or call them at 701-630-0197. All those contacts are in the description of this podcast. If you have any fishing memory or a fish that you would like to commemorate, with a replica or you have questions about getting fish replicas done, reach out to Jamie Rizavi from Rizavi Taxidermy Studio in New Rockford, North Dakota. Jamie and his crew do next level work here at the JMO headquarters. We are blessed to have so many replicas made by Jamie. Reach out. You can find him on social media or online at RizaviTaxidermyStudio.com. The link is in the description of this podcast. Devil's Lake is one of North Dakota's premier outdoor recreational destinations. And to find out more about what the lake and the community of Devil's Lake has to offer, head to DevilsLakeND.com. That link is in the description. And the other thing I see is that, you know, I still see a lot of the shore fishing. You know, you get out in your boat, I guess what I'm getting at is you've seen a level of success and you probably have enough connections in the industry that if it was your goal to just have a bunch of big fancy stuff and fish the best bites, you know, you'd probably have a lot more cool stuff and probably have access to a lot cooler stuff. But I feel like in some ways you must have intentionally stayed a little bit closer to your roots because I see a lot of shore fishing. I see you just, you know, like you say that on the side of the road stuff, I like that stuff a lot. And I know a lot of people relate to that and, or just get inspired by that. You seem like the type of person that just, you know, again, just even after experiencing, you know, some success and you know, again, you know, being in the digital space, you know, you could probably find lots of reasons why you should just go places where only big fish bite and lots of them. But I still see you just doing a lot of that. I guess I'd call it like, you know, more blue collar type of fishing opportunities and then showcasing it really well. And then you're just genuinely happy about it. Has that been like a big intention for you? Like, how would you sort of describe that?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. That's a really good point. Yeah, I mean, obviously there's good fishing from shore and there's good fishing from boats, but ultimately we really do like being, Sam and I like being relatable on the channel to the average human Joe. You know, does the average human Joe have a, you know, $120,000 Vexus to drive around in with, you know, another 50 grand of graphs and electronics? No, you know what I mean? So we wanted to showcase people that, like, you don't need all of that stuff to catch fish. Like, you just, you know, need a rod, a reel, and your two legs, and you can make things happen. So I love filming those shore videos and showcasing that you, like I said, you can catch quality fish from shore and you don't need a lot to it. And I think it's been a staple on the channel. Like, that's just kind of like you said, like how we grew up, that's how our videos started, that's the roots. And I do like staying kind of in that realm just because people find it so enjoyable and relatable. And I don't know, I just think kind of having that bond with your viewers is kind of something that is important in the long run. So I'm always going to do those videos. And it's not easy. You are right. There's a lot of bad days that may not get shown, you know, on YouTube, but the days that you do get that are good, it definitely makes it worth it.
I want you to maybe kind of walk me through sort of a, you know, the e-scouting or just sort of the discovery process and then, you know, just some gear recommendations and just how it would come to fruition to maybe hunt down some of these no-name spots, whether it's a no-name lake, you know, a small boat kind of a lake, or even like a shore fishing thing. Talk to me about how, you know, the resources you use or whatever, like what you do to sort of look for and discover some of these off the beaten path, no name spots. And then when you're looking for it and you're breaking it down and looking at this species, like what do you work backwards from, like this time of year? Maybe we should narrow it down to maybe something like this time of year.
Okay, sure. Yeah. Post spawn bite. Love it. So we'll just talk specifically walleyes, I guess. And we're kind of in that stage where it's post spawn. So a little bit easier of a bite. I will say step number one, everybody, keep your ears open. You know, if you got a friend that's telling you of a hot bite or you hear in the great, you know, grapevine of something that there's a hot bite, you know, that's always a good thing too, right? So that I like that. I'm a people person, so I like talking to people. And so if I hear of a bite, you know, like definitely like I'm gonna go check it out or whatnot, if it's a trusted source. So other than that, I mean, finding spots for me, you know, Onyx Fish just came out with an app, and it's, they don't have it available yet in the Dakotas, but like I was just in Wisconsin and it's a great app. I'm not sure if anybody's familiar with the Onyx Hunt app, but same company, Onyx, came out with the Onyx Fish app, and great tool, unbelievable tool. I'm excited for them to get it over in the Dakotas. But basically you can kind of just filter lakes for what you're trying to catch. You know, if you're trying to catch big fish, you can target big fish. If you want to catch numbers, high abundance lakes, you can filter it to that. So like last week I was in Wisconsin doing that, and we were just finding random spots, you know, with high abundance walleyes, trophy potential walleyes, and then looking at the land, you know, where is public access, where can you walk, where can you not walk, and kind of going from there. You know, moving over to the Dakota side of things, since, you know, the app isn't available yet over there, just doing the old school, you know, word of mouth, and then netting reports. I'm constantly going on like North Dakota's Game and Fish website, looking at the netting reports on all these lakes and kind of just breaking down, you know, like, okay, how many walleyes were caught here? You know, what was the average size? Is this going to be worth my time? And then after I kind of look at that, I'll go on either, I use the Hummingbird mapping. I kind of think I have really good app or mapping. So I go over to like the Hummingbird app, I'll pull it up on my phone, and I'll just look at all the structure on the lake. And I'll be like, okay, like if I'm in a boat tomorrow or whatever, this is kind of an area I want to hit. If I'm just going to be from shore, this looks like it's going to be an area that I could maybe get a couple. And then, you know, if it was a shore, just double check on the Onyx Hunt app to make sure that, you know, it's legal to walk on the land and all that good stuff. Right now we're kind of lucky with being post spawn. It does make it a little bit easier because all the fish just got done spawning and they're kind of hungry. Even though this weather right now, it's making things a little bit interesting. But basically, I mean, in the Dakotas, you know, wherever it's wind blown, you're going to want to go fish that side around this time. So these fish can be anywhere, you know, 3 to 6 feet of water. But basically anything wind blown, it's a pretty good place to start in the Dakotas. They're just chasing all those bait fish and throwing some sort of imitation to that, seem to have pretty good luck with. So yeah, that's kind of just, I guess, a little rundown of what goes through my brain when trying to find a place to fish.
What are some of your preferences, or if you're just going to bring a pocket full of tackle to be as versatile as possible, like what are some of your gear recommendations, including, you know, line, rod, reel, you know, leader material, lure selection, like, because all those things are a factor sometimes if you're just going to try to bring one setup down because you're going to walk, you know, a mile or whatever, or you're going to go down a big riprap. Like give me a little bit of a rundown of some different scenarios where you could give us some recommendations that you've had success with in the past.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So specifically talking the Dakotas, you can never go wrong with a quarter ounce jig head with some sort of swimmer, like a paddle tail. Personally, I like using a gold Northland deep V jig with a quarter ounce with a Callens tickle tail. And that just seems to be a good go-to. It just imitates everything in the lake. And it seems like a good solid lure to kind of have in your back pocket for any type of scenario, whether it's shore or boat. And then for specifically shore fishing, I like running either a 7.3 to 7.6 rod. I really like making sure I have an extra fast action or a fast action rod, just because I love feeling everything, you know, whether it's a rock or a fish. Like I just like having that sensitivity, so something like that's really nice. 7.3 to 7.6, as I was saying, if I know I'm gonna be from shore, I might go with the 7.6 just because cast a little bit farther, right? And then typically I have just like a 2 to 3,000 size reel on with 10 to 15 pound braid to a I do a little heavy, but a 14 pound fluorocarbon leader. You definitely don't need a 14 pound fluorocarbon leader. You can go as low as like 8 if you really wanted to for those, you know, really finesse lakes or whatever. But it seems like in the Dakotas, honestly, it doesn't matter too much. Water clarity is never really much of an issue. You could use probably straight braid and be fine in a majority of the lakes and not have to worry about that. But also, you got toothy critters. You got the northern pickerel in all these lakes. So that's why I like using a little bit heavier line, just because I don't want to get snapped off every second from a gosh dang northern, you know? So that's kind of just a little rundown, I guess.
Are you the kind of guy that ties on like a 10-foot leader with a specific, you know, connecting knot, and then by the end of the day, it's you know, down to like 3 or 4 feet long? Or do you like to kind of bring a spare, you know, a handful of spares of all these things and kind of retime, just, you know, just any of those kind of topics, man, are just kind of fun to talk about.
I definitely carry around like a little tackle bag that has everything. But I guess typically I'll just tie like a five foot leader or something like that. But yeah, you're right. By the end of the day, it's down to about 2 feet from all the pike and whatnot. I like also using I know it's probably frowned upon from like, you know, all the pros or whatever, but like, I love putting on like clips, like tying, you know, your leader onto a clip. So then you can just clip on lure after lure. Like if one thing's not working, just swap it out for another. And I haven't really had a problem with any of this, like the clips breaking or whatnot, but yeah, definitely just keeping some line and extra lures and some pliers around is never a bad thing.
What are some other fun topics? You know, I mean, you know, you're a popular guy on the socials. Do you field a lot of specific questions or anything like that this time of year? Is there some fun conversations you've been in lately, like something like that, that we could, you know, just sort of talk about and or address?
Right. Well, I mean, you're giving me a lot of credit. I want to say I'm very popular by any means.
Well, 268,000 subscribers on YouTube.
Just a normal guy, right? But yeah, no, definitely trying to get all of my Midwest fishing kind of out of my system before I leave for the summer. I'm actually leaving a little bit later this year, so I like completely forgot how to fish for fish in the Midwest during like the early June months, because normally I'm gone by now. So it's going to be interesting, but I think one thing that like I'm going to try doing this spring or the rest of this early summer, until I leave, is some muskie fishing, which I know like nothing about muskie. I just know that, I mean, they're hard to catch obviously, but it's kind of fun. I went out for the first time, about a week ago in Wisconsin in the southern zone. And, we landed 6 muskies, and I'm like, dang, this musky stuff is easy. Like, what are people talking about? Fish a 10,000 cast, you know what I mean? But no, I know it's not always like that. We had a pretty cool day. And yeah, I think basically from now until like middle of June, I'm just going to try like being a better musky angler and seeing if I can just wrangle a couple around here. And I'm going to go back to Wisconsin and then maybe go over for Minnesota opener as well. So that's going to be a fun little adventure. And I think it's going to be cool filming those, because, you know, people can see like our musky journey from day one, like us, you know, big noobs, and then kind of just like doing like, you know, little mistakes that probably every musky angler does when they first start fishing too. Like, they're going to laugh at it, and it's just going to be a riot on the YouTube channel. So, it's definitely going to be a funny thing to watch.
Dude, I think that's awesome, man. And remind me, so what's your connection in Alaska? You said you spend summers up there. What's the whole connection up there? Is there something interesting about that?
Right. So my dad's mom lives up there. So my grandma lives up there. And ever since I was a little guy, my parents have been bringing me there. And, you know, we'd go for like 2 or 3 weeks out of the year. And once we started doing the whole YouTube thing, I'm like, yo, Sam, why are we not just spending the whole summer in Alaska? Because Alaska, it turns out, is a great content place. It's beautiful. There's a lot of fishing to do, and I don't know. It's just, I feel really just relaxed there and really happy when I'm in Alaska. So we just started basically spending the entire summer there and filming all of our adventures, whether it's, you know, chasing down some king salmon or rainbow trout or getting chased by bears, you know, whatever it may be. Alaska is a really good place, and it all started because my grandma lived there and we've just been going there as a family since the young years. I'm just so much happier there and like stress-free. I don't know. The air just smells better there, and you can make it as remote as you want. Like, obviously there's a lot of untouched places in Alaska where like you can do fly-in trips and like the fishing is 10 times crazier. But I kind of like a happy medium. So like where I hang out most of the time, it's pretty like touristy, I would say, but like at the same time there's still places you can go around the area where I'm from, where, you know, you can get that peace and quiet that you need. But, you know, I'm a people person. I like talking to people. So I don't mind, you know, having a conversation with some anglers on the shore or whatnot, you know.
Oh, man, that's good stuff. I'm excited to see where the muskie adventure takes you. Yeah, I'm jealous on that for sure, man. That's been one that's kind of been on the – I just haven't made the plunge into it yet. But it is so, that is the biggest like distraction I have in my walleye fishing life right now, is like, I just cannot let a muskie rod enter my boat, or it's just going to be right. A slippery slope. It's just going to be a waterfall of destruction for all my walleye fishing. And I can just see that happening, man. But I can, as a walleye angler, I consume a lot of that content just because I think there's a lot of fishy conversations that happen in muskie boats with muskie anglers that I think everybody ought to be paying attention to, bass anglers too, you know, and all that. I think it's all a thing. So, man, I really appreciate getting to know you a little bit here and spending more time kind of paying attention to your stuff. And we can wrap this up with, you know, just promoting yourself or sponsors or your content, like anything that you want to throw out there, man.
Yeah. Well, appreciate you having me on. It was great to talk some fishing. Always love talking. I'm a big talker, big yapper. but yeah, again, if anybody wants to check out what me and my brother have going on, our main focus is YouTube. Our channel's called Mindak Outdoors. And yeah, there's a bunch of outdoor adventures. We're here for all the outdoor enthusiasts and soon to be muskie enthusiasts, hopefully, fingers crossed.
When one of you kind of latches on to a bright idea, like, does he have to kind of sign on for that and be like, okay, yeah, I'll do that with you? Like, how do those conversations go? Or is he just like, yeah, all right, go do that, bro?
Oh, yeah, no, Sam does what I tell him. That's the best part. he's my brother. He does what I tell him. So he knows who's wearing the pants, you know. So he tells me, you know, something, and then I'll tell him something, and you know, it's basically put him in his place, you know, how the brother aspect, right?
Yeah. So we're going musky fishing next week, so
he's get like, ready. Fine, all right, tell me when. Where am I meeting you?
That's so awesome.
We got a good